Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, Director of the World Ocean Observatory. Many of the participants and policymakers at the recent Global Ocean Conference at UNESCO in Paris live in countries well aware of the power of the sea. The small island nations, for example, have evolved vital cultures dependent on ocean living, now even more vulnerable to the effects of climate change, tsunami, extreme weather, and sea level rise. They live with the immediacy of the ocean every day and make decisions at every level of society in the context of that environment. They have much to teach the rest of us, who presume that wherever we may be, we are disconnected from the sea. One thing to be learned is an emerging method to calculate in advance the true cost of progress. As economists join with scientists, we are moving from observation and study to predictable measurement and advanced calculation of the true value of natural resources, the cost of their development, of their loss, of the mitigation and adaptation required by their consequence, and of their implementation without first taking into consideration the broader and deeper financial implications for the community, immediately and downstream. If the cost of this event is X, what would be the cost if such an event had occurred in the Arctic, for example, where energy companies constantly propose to go? The Deepwater Horizon disaster in the Gulf of Mexico provides a telling example. The conventional calculation, typically made to local communities, regulators, and state and federal legislatures, is that the presence of an offshore drilling industry be valued in terms of jobs created, taxes and royalties paid, and value added to the overall financial health of the local, national, and indeed global economy. Given the quarterly financial reports of the oil companies, this evaluation adds up to substantial profit. But much is left out of the calculation. For example, we tend to forget that the natural resources within any national 200-mile limit are owned by the public, and that, as such, government is obliged to exploit that capacity only for the national good. In many cases, the legislation enabling the licensing of these resources requires royalty payments frequently designated to restricted funds for specific purposes, scientific research, education, environmental protection, or historic preservation. While that may be true on paper, those royalties most often end up not in support of those designated purposes, but in the general fund. Moreover, it is evident that the royalties collected are only a fraction of the market value of those resources, and the profits generated, even after all the substantial costs of administration, exploration, drilling, transportation, refining, distribution, and conversion into innumerable oil-based products, when distributed to the shareholders, represent a not-so-visible but very real transfer of value from the owners to the investors, from the public sector to the private sector, from the many to the few, in not necessarily equitable percentage. In addition, government provides enormous public subsidy to the oil industry in the form of incentives and tax credits for exploration and research, technology development, depreciation, and many, many other legislative amendments, regulatory adjustments, and management decisions along the way made for the benefit of the industry. And of course, there is the continuing presence of politicians and government officials, chosen for their influence, sitting on the boards of these companies and expected to avoid direct and indirect conflicts of interest. What then is the true value of an oil well drilled a mile down offshore in a unique ecological zone subject to multiple uses? It is not simply the cost of the well or the price of the product. The real calculation must include all the ancillary expense and revenue and the cost of their loss. When you begin to add up what the public has paid for Deepwater Horizon versus what has been gained, and when you add the hidden subsidy, and when you add the cost of dealing with the consequence of the disaster, and when you add the value of loss to the environmental refugees and communities affected, and when you add the value of damage to the productive ecology and the future revenues lost, you have a dramatically different equation. From a balance sheet perspective, what in the near term seems profit is in the long term a financial disaster, visualized today in the photos of oil slicks, wide and deep, fouled beaches, dead wildlife, destroyed wetlands, unemployed fishermen, bankrupt tourism business, depressed local economies, and ruined communities. Given such a calculation, why would anyone invest? We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced by Amelia Poole in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.